Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Carter in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for being a Tolo. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, will join us at 9:20. We will crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. Is the NFL still that dominant in your house, and how much has the lead grown? As Choppy, you have some ratings that even surprised you yesterday.
Yes. The NFL in week one averaged, it averaged 21 million viewers per game during the opening week, making it the most watched week one on record.
Caitlin Clark effect.
It's a 12% increase over last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard people talking about college football. Okay, so this was the least football starved I've been in the offseason in a long, 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 long time.
Right.
I think part of it may have to do with, like, our, you know, show chemistry, so the dog days weren't as bad.
Right.
With the additions and stuff that we can talk about during dead periods. And I was not as excited about the Cowboys heading in. So I felt like this football offseason went faster than most. But in hearing college football previews and lead-ins, it sounded like the most college football starved people were. And these numbers tell you that people were more NFL starved than they've been. And while saying that myself, I do feel like the gap between the National Football League and everyone else is growing.
Oh, it's not even a discussion. It's absolutely growing.
Like in my own personal care as well. Just being honest about it.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Now,
this baseball season feels like it's never ending. Now, a ton of that has to do with the Rangers being out of it. It's felt like for a very long time. But I have not been as football starved this offseason, but the college numbers, the NFL numbers are opposite.
They're opposite.
It shows people are dying for it.
Chiefs Ravens averaged 29 million. Detroit and the Rams averaged 23 million. The Cowboys and Browns averaged 23 million.
Is this Mark Cuban's worst sports statement ever? Hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah,
pigs get fat. Hogs get slaughtered. This will eventually take down the National Football League. That or powder dry and understanding the CBA.
CBA.
Yeah, I mean, what did he ever say anything about, like, Rodrigue Beaubois that was really stupid or something? That might compete, but other than that.
The six games that were part of the Fox's doubleheader averaged 19 million. Best start since 2020. First time since 2020 that Fox had the Sunday afternoon doubleheader in week one. You know, in the previous years, they both carried it. They both had a doubleheader. CBS averaged 18 million for its six games, the most watched week one singleheader since 1998. It's a huge, huge number. For comparison speaking, real quick, the average of 21 million is more than the NBA Finals and World Series combined viewership numbers.
Football Night in America on NBC beat every single college game except Texas Michigan.
What?
Football Night in America was
the pregame show?
Beat every single college game except Texas Michigan.
See, for me, that's like a rare break you can take in the day.
Oh. Is that pregame show?
Yeah, now Fox NFL Sunday beat all but two games, Texas Michigan and Colorado Nebraska.
Wow.
Yeah, and then because those Colorado Nebraska and Texas Michigan were the only two that weren't on the ESPN family, which doesn't have, right, because they had their DirecTV issue. So that will play a role. That would play a role in that. But, I mean, look, it is a monster. It really is. And you know, the Caitlin Clark game against Angel Reese and LSU Iowa this year, that set like all the ratings, and that still didn't even hit the average NFL game.
The average.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is the sport?
It was like 19 million.
Wild.
And then the average NFL game was like 21.
Is the sports gap growing in your own house on the Franklin LaFranco injury attorney text line 877-881-1053? Or did the Dallas Mavericks finals run cause NBA love for you? We've talked about the baseball problems over the years. College football, are they still number two for most of the country in the Metroplex? What about the Dallas Stars and the excellent teams that they've been putting out there? The gap has been growing for me. It has with the NFL love compared to everything else.
Yeah, I mean, again, they do such a good job of making it accessible for the most part. Like, is that going to change for me with, like, the Mavericks being an easier...
It's not accessible with all the networks and streams you have to have to get all the games.
Well, I mean, when you've got YouTube TV and you just take care of that and you're not reliant on dinosaur technology like you gentlemen have been.
Tonight, YouTube TV gives you Amazon. You don't have to go to Amazon Prime.
I mean, I have Amazon Prime because I have a wife who likes to order things for the house. So that's where that gets tied into.
I would imagine for you, though, RJ, it is... Although you said your NFL love has grown, but... I don't think you have not dropped off with baseball. I don't think you've dropped off with college football. You're the only one, I think, in the whole building that knows any a college basketball player's name. Maybe the guys on BetQL. So I would think with you, maybe the gap has grown the least.
Well, look, it's not so much the gap that the love hasn't grown. It's the importance that's grown, and I think that's a major part of it. Like. The game, the NFL individual is just more important than everything else. Like you can have individual people who want to have, oh, I'd rather the Rangers win the World Series than the Cowboys win the Super Bowl or than the Mavericks win the NBA. Like there are fans that will prioritize that.
I don't know. Maybe because like off season, I'm still doing a bunch of stuff with NFL. Like that feels more. Work related at times, whereas when I watch basketball, that feels like it's a break. Yeah, so maybe I don't know that the gap's grown for. I still love the NFL the most, but I feel like maybe those other ones feel like escapes for me more than football does at times.
Yeah, for me, it's so NFL, MLB, and college football have always been 1, 2, 3 for me. MLB has always been up there. I've grown up playing baseball, watched it with my dad and my brother, so you know we've always been in love with baseball. But yeah, the NBA and the NHL, it's like if the Mavericks and Stars are in it. It's like I'm not watching as much.
Yeah. Like, I like Brett Boone on. We have a great chemistry, but behind the scenes, I'm like, should we have Brett Boone on during the baseball playoffs? Are enough people going to care about that listening to our show when the Rangers are not in it?
Tell us. Tell us on the fan text right now.
Yeah, tell us on the fan text. Yeah. Sounds like the only football thing dying is the Manning cast. Was that me.
That was Bob. So the Manning cast... We might be on its last legs.
What do you call it, Choppy?
The boring cast.
Well, all but 872,000 people would agree with you. That is how many viewers the Manning cast drew.
Will Chambers took offense that I said Choppy's the only one who knows a college basketball player. Sorry, Will.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
that's right. Kentucky.
Sorry, I forgot about Ron Mercer.
Oh, Scott Padgett. Sorry. Good job, Will. We are heading to the death of the Manning cast. I made the comparison last night. I was trying to think what's similar to me. Reminds me of the show Weeds. Did you ever watch the show Weeds?
I used to love the show Weeds.
The first season, some of the best TV you're ever going to see.
Tremendous.
And then it was just downhill from there. And that's the Manning cast. And the Manning cast has completely lost its way. It has plummeted to an all-time low of 872,000 viewers. Now, like you mentioned, they were trying to say, hey, the DirecTV consumer is factored into this. That may have also caused an issue here. But for this plummet, this is a 43% drop from week one last year. And I don't think 43% can only be... explained away by DirecTV.
Maybe part of it, but it's still their number one problem is how in the year of our Lord 2024 can they not figure out the technical aspect of this?
The delay.
Force them to fly, you know, Eli fly from New York and Peyton fly from Denver.
Wait, so are they having the lag just between them?
Well, then,
or is it just always the guest?
Well, the guest. The guest is the main lag, right? But look, they have Stephen A. sometimes is not there on First Take. He's in another location. Like, how is this still a problem?
Some of the things that beat the Manning cast this week, ESPN2's broadcast of Cal versus Auburn. Fox's broadcast of Texas Tech versus Washington State, and NBC's 1 p.m. broadcast on Saturday of the Paris Paralympics drew 300,000 more people than the Manning cast.
Because there's content that is...
I haven't watched them forever.
Valuable there, right? Their breakdown has some value.
And honestly, Aikman being... Hold your comment, your insult. Aikman being on the Monday Night Call has caused me to go to the Manning cast less.
Yeah.
I like Troy's bluntness on that.
Yeah, I love his recommendations of just kicking the field goal on fourth and inches.
This is outdated takes.
One of your old stale choppy takes.
You go in the cabin.
Hey, you know what? This punter, man, he's a real force.
tell me, you've been on the show with him for a long time. Me not nearly as long. Tell me, was he equally this critical before Sarah had slobbered all over Troy Aikman at the party?
He hates every great legendary broadcaster.
Did you,
Scully, he's taken down. Alsomnia, Al Michaels.
Al's boring. Troy Aikman, Vin's boring.
Collinsworth.
I mean, yeah, given what
Collinsworth's just arrogant. He's just a punk. And plus, I don't care what a wide receiver has to say about him.
But you love Sterling and Kay, though. Yeah, that makes
sense. I don't love them. I like Sterling's voice.
Did you see, speaking of legendary broadcasters, Babe Laufenberg's explanation to us? He's clarified how he messed up the trivia.
Go ahead, Bobby. Take over the segment.
No, I'm just asking if you saw
our Shannon Sharp audio. Just wait.
Go ahead. No,
explain it.
He meant wins instead of touchdowns. There you go.
He meant wins instead of touchdowns.
Yes, there you go.
That was for 840 when Babe Laufenberg was on. The viral story of the day. My father-in-law was right.
About?
You. The viral story of the day. That's how a second person side texted me. Shannon Sharp accidentally going on Instagram Live while having relations with someone named Michelle.
Oh, baby.
And we got the sounds.
Yeah.
We got the directions. We got everything. And Shannon Sharp tried to say he was... What's that?
Huh?
Shannon Sharp tried to say that he was hacked, and then he admitted the truth last night on Club Shay Shay.
Event that happened today. Obviously, I'm embarrassed. Someone that is extremely, extremely private. And to have one of your most intimate details, the audio heard for the entire world to hear. I'm embarrassed for a number of reasons. People count on Shannon, Shay Shay Media, Club Shay Shay, Nightcap, ESPN. There are a lot of people that count on him at all times. Even when I'm behind closed doors, I still try to remain a level of professional, although I'm in the privacy of my own home. I'm very disappointed in myself, not for the act. I think there are millions and billions of people of consenting age that engage in activities, but to have your most intimate detail on the audio to be heard, I'm disappointed in myself. I let them call them. I called my sister, my friends reached out, but guys, this was not staged. Came in, I threw my phone on the bed, engaged in an activity. I did not know IG Live. I've never been on IG Live. I've never turned IG Live on. So I don't know how it works. And so all of a sudden, my other phone is going off and people are calling me FaceTime that I've never talked to a day in my life on FaceTime. And it didn't. I'm like, why are y'all calling me FaceTime? And after a while, Jamie says, Shannon, you're on IG Live. I'm like, doing what? You know, I'm like, what am I on IG Live for? I ain't hit no IG Live button. He says, they can hear. I'm like, so now, Ocho, you know, I say ask for patience. He said they can hear. And now I'm starting to get agitated again because you call me and say I'm on IG Live when I know I didn't click myself on IG Live. And he said they can hear me. I said, hear me doing what? He said, it sounds like you were having sex. Man, my heart sank. It dropped.
So the internet trying to find Michelle. Ocho Cinco saying he needs cardio work.
Yeah.
He said, I'm just glad it was Michelle, not Michael. But I think this is going to be a big win for Shannon Sharp. People are like, poor Paul Pierce. He got fired for the same thing with an IG Live. Y'all's theory seems to make a lot of sense as I was trying to figure out how to go to IG Live.
Yeah,
you think he was setting up a film session?
He was probably, going to film it. And he accidentally, because the IG Live camera looks very similar to an iPhone camera. Maybe he was just on, it was on Instagram prior to.
Because I haven't seen the accusations that it was a gotcha from the girl. Because he said he came in, he threw the phone down. Could she have hit the button? Why would she do it? He didn't seem mad at her in their podcast last night. But having him and Ocho, gosh, having them recap it was freaking hilarious. Grimy.
Oh, yeah.
That is a – I'm surprised ESPN puts him on their regular shows without being like, yo, man, you got to chill on the podcast.
On the podcast?
Holy, man, they get raunchy.
Dude, like Stephen A. apparently does his podcast. He will go on – he says – They have no say in what I say on that thing.
I'm some of the theories
like,
that are out
just
there.
Just like I love the star.
Right. Some of the theories that are
nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Grimy.
Yeah, some of the theories that are out here on who this Michelle may be and do we know the Michelle are interesting. That I don't know that we could spend, but if you just look over the ESPN roster of people named Michelle.
Michelle?
There's some interesting possibilities here.
What challenges does Chris Olave bring as a receiver?
This is a trick question.
Trick question.
He a good player.
Dang, Trayvon Diggs. Trick question. He a good player. Was that him kind of mocking the reporter's question or mocking Olave? Let's bring in Nick Eatman, who lives at the Ford Center of the Star in Frisco. DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Were you there for that in Diggs? What do you make of that comment?
No, I did not hear that part. I was kind of, you know, we're a little short-handed now, so we're bouncing around a little bit other spots. I didn't hear that one, but, you know, that's Trayvon's kind of that way, like where he's kind of like, if he's not really in the mood to be talking, he's just not going to give you what he thinks you want. And so, yeah, he's a good player. I mean, he probably would say that about Jerry Rice, I guess.
What are the chances that the Saints are a better team than we thought coming into the year after the Carolina game, or Carolina just sucks?
I think they are. I think Carolina is really bad, and you know they have their own quarterback issues for sure. But I think that the Saints. I think there's always five teams that are way better than you think they're going to be. And it could be the Saints. It could be that team. I've always said I believe week two is one of the most important weeks of the entire season.
Yes.
I always pencil that game or circle that game when the schedule comes out because I just feel like to be the team you want to be, you've got to like either stack a win together if you won the first week or you better not go 0-2. And so I always think there's a lot of importance. We'll really find out what teams are in week two. I think we're going to find out a lot about what the Saints are.
Yeah, Belichick said he thought that week two was more important than week one. Robert Saleh said it feels better being 0-1 with Rodgers than 1-0 last year.
Well, without him. Of course it does.
Without him. How have you felt about Derek Carr throughout his career? He's one of these difficult to decide on guys, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell the word meh, but that's pretty much it, you know?
I mean, it's M-E-H,
better than his brother. How about that?
Better than his brother.
So am I.
Yeah.
Careful, you'll get blocked like Bobby did by David Carr.
Oh, well.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
I got blocked by David Carr for talking trash.
Oh, blocked. I don't know why I was thinking Mutombo. I don't know what was wrong with me this morning.
Fair.
But better than yesterday. So anyways.
Yeah, Bobby was playing one-on-one with Mutombo the other month.
I don't live in the world where we're blocked. I don't even think like that. I should, you know.
Who has blocked you? Who has blocked Nick Eatman?
Gary Patterson.
Oh, really?
Oh.
But I don't think he runs his own account. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, Mrs. Patterson? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I remember back in the day, you know, Baylor, TCU, Art Briles, all that stuff. Yeah. But it's okay. It's okay. I don't know. I don't know who else would be. I mean, I'm sure there are some, you know. Derek Carr, to me, I think he's like the opposite of what you're going to get, what you had last week. He is going to complete passes. He's not going to throw it into the stands. He's also not going to probably shed Micah Parsons when he's got him in a bear hug. So I think if they get to him, I think they can get more sacks, but I do think he's going to hit open receivers and he's going to be, you know, more functional than what they had last week with Watson.
How big is that? How much more of a test do you think is this week, the running game that the Saints have and the type of runners that Kamara and Jamal Williams are compared to what they had against the Browns last week?
I think Kamara is obviously the big difference there, but it's that, you know, thunder lightning type thing that the change of pace always, it can be a problem because, and we've seen it work well with the Cowboys too. I mean, once you start thinking you've got the angles just right for this guy, and then Pollard would come in and it, you know, it's kind of, I think for them, it's maybe a flipped version, but either way, you know, and Kamara is not like a little change of pace. He's not like he's, you know, we know how big he is. I mean, he could run in between the tackles. He is so dynamic. I think he's one of my favorite players in the league, you know, not with the Cowboys, just because I just love the way he plays the game. And he's also one of those examples, and RJ could probably attest to this, it seems like he's a much better pro than he even was in college. I mean, he kind of was a surprise, I think, coming out of college to be that good, at least from my perspective. I don't know.
Nick Heatman joins here, 105 through the Fan. Yeah, he had Butch Jones as his coach. He didn't know how to use him. that was pretty much
that before, after Dooley.
That was after Dooley. Every Tennessee fan could see he was clearly the best player on the field, and he never played.
Okay.
It was crazy. Oh, wow. Speaking of him, when he is set up outside, how do you think they approach it? Who do they use?
That is a great question. I think this is why, you know, I've heard a lot of, can you spy him? I'm like, spy him with who? Because put him on the outside, you would want – A Jordan Lewis, maybe, you know, he's done that in the past. But if he's kind of in the middle of the field, that's not the guy you want. I mean, that's where you think the Marquise Bells and the Mukwamu, maybe, or one of those kind of safety types. Or do you just go with Overshown and say, all right, run him down? And I think most of the time when you're talking about what they're going to do, it's a combination of everything. But that's why I think he is so good, because he is a mismatch nightmare, because he lines up outside. I would want a corner or a safety, but then he shipped him back into the middle and they run the ball, and then that's probably not where you want your corners and safeties to be.
Nick, Jake Ferguson, Neyland, and John Stevens on the injury report.
Yeah, the calf injury with Neyland, that to me would be the most concerning there. Especially, just because he didn't practice. And
no, I'm saying that's good for Ferguson.
Well, good for Ferguson. Ferguson says he's got no pain, and this is what's kind of – today will be the test, of course. He says, I have no pain. It was just more of a scare, I think, than anything. He says he's going to do everything he can to play, but he also – no, he said, I'm going to do everything I can to be 100%. So if he's not, and if he can't give that, I don't know what the number is of where the Cowboys will put him out there. But he, you know, he's trying to be 100%. And, you know, he said it'll be a collective call between him, the trainers, the coaching staff on what they do. But, you know, it looks to me, I mean, if you've got no pain, you're able to go and run around and do your thing and not wearing a brace or anything, I think he, you know, has a good chance to play.
We have any update on Dalvin Cook? I forgot that they even had him before yesterday.
I don't have an update on him, but I did see, I'm not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to look out and watch anything, practice or anything, but I saw just a little bit of him running the ball, and he looks pretty good. Like he has some elusiveness to him. I saw one play, and I saw 20, and I just kind of glanced. I was like, it looks like Pollard, the way he was kind of running in the open field and shifting. And I'm like, all right, that's Dalvin Cook. Again, I have no idea how they plan on using him, but I will say that, you know, I think they're just kind of waiting on him getting going. But I do believe there's going to be a time here, probably sooner than later, that we're going to see him.
Where's the Saints coach on the list of anonymous ones in the NFL that you don't think of or know much about? The only thing I know about him...
He's a Pfizer guy, right?
What's his name, Choppy?
Dennis Allen.
Good job. The only thing I know about him is, like, he always shut Brady down. That's the only thing I know.
He did, yeah. When the Bucks would play them, and it would be like... I remember coming home from a game on the road, and then they were playing the Sunday night game, and they were like, it was like 9-6 or 12-3 or something. I'm like, yeah, he does kind of have the... He's the Brady whisperer. The Cowboys were not that until the very end. But I don't know, visor hoodie guy, you know. And but it does seem like a good, you know, a scheme type coach. He can figure things out. They do things kind of unorthodox, I guess. But Taysom Hill, he's still, you know, he doesn't really scare you. But if he doesn't scare when you're not really thinking about him, that's when he'll kind of make a few plays, and they can just line him up in different ways. It's something to watch. So I think this is going to be a challenge. I really do. I mean, they don't play here often. We know there are a ton of Saints fans in Dallas. I think there will be a good amount of fans for the Saints in this game. I just think it'll be a good, fun atmosphere. The Cowboys better be ready for it.
Nick, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you guys. See you tomorrow.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, Buffalo and Miami.
Got a couple of betting insights for you here. Some trends. This is from BetMGM, who's a partner of BetQL. So primetime games, there was four primetime games in week one. Okay. And because you had the Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. The favorites were 4-0 against the spread. And Miami started as a one-point favorite. Now they're 2.5. They moved up. A lot of the money going on Miami. 99% of all bets are on Tua over 4.5 rush yards.
Over 4.5 total rush
total
yards?
Total rush yards. 99% of all bets at BetMGM. And it's about to be 100%. I'm about to go on there and do it myself. I found this one pretty interesting. To score the first touchdown, Tyreek Hill is 6-1. That seems like a great number.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to run a lot, but still, their backs.
You think he's going to get a touchdown a game almost, I mean, or close to it. The guy seems to get a touchdown a game.
Mostert is out tonight, and Achane is game time decision. And so, yeah, I would think you'd lean a little more heavily on the idea that
I think it's just a halfway decent bet there, just 6-1 to get that. But a little bit of pause here. Since 2003, when two teams that are 0-1 against the spread meet in week two, the underdog has won 65% of those. So those teams are Bills, Giants, Raiders, and Titans. Those are the four underdogs that are matched up with another team that was 0-1 against the spread in week one.
These were Tua's rush yard games last year. 5-3-0-7-6-0, -3-8-7-6-1-0-15-0, -2-14-7.
And he had 11 in week one.
But he did not have a game over 15 yards rushing last year.
He only just learned how to fall. He doesn't know how to run yet.
Okay, so I can't do sacks count as negative rush yards?
No.
Because I know they do in college.
Not in the NFL. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Kneel downs count as negative rush yards.
And rushes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bet, like you have, for Patrick Mahomes, that's why I bet that one in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, X amount of rushes, 3.5. I mean, three of them are kneel downs.
Find out how to go hang out with the KNC Masterpiece today. You can do that as we crosstalk with the fellas. Next on Sean and RJ. But first, let me tell you about the Frankels. They have achieved remarkable results by leveraging their unique insight into insurance defense tactics gained from years of experience as insurance defense attorneys. They now use this knowledge to advocate for injured TOLOs against insurance companies. They have the experience 3 decades. They have honed their skills in securing compensation for the injured and are dedicated to changing the future landscape of injury claims. Just go look at some of the results on the website, frankelfirm.com. $12 million settlement with a drunk driving accident victim, $4.5 million verdict for an 18-wheeler collision, $35.5 million for a truck accident, drunk driver, $12 million, $1.6 million for a severe truck accident. You deserve the best. Let them fight for you with Mark, Scott, and Gene. They're experienced, they win, and they're local. 214 or 817, all threes. 214 or 817-333-3333 or frankelfirm.com. Tell them you're a Tolo for the hookup, and Sean for the fans sent you to Frankel & Frankel, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. Let us now crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece, where you can go hang out with the fellas today because they are not here in studio. Choppy, I'm trying to, is that a New Orleans Saints restaurant that they're in? Is that the Fleur de Lis?
We're in New Orleans.
You know what? That is, it does look like it could, yes. Yes, right behind Kevin. Wow. I do believe that looks like very Fleur de Lis-ish.
The Saints show of record. Looks like he's sitting like it looks like a chair in a castle. That
yeah,
felt, that red felt.
Yes.
Where are you? How close are we with our guesses, Kevin and Corey?
We are, in fact, in New Orleans,
No, we're not.
I am in a throne so the Saints can understand that the Cowboys are their king.
Okay, oh. All right, I like that.
Looks a little too sunny to be in New Orleans right now.
Jeez.
What's the cake that you eat where you get, like, is it a
king
baby?
King cake.
King cake.
Okay. It's terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, it's so bad.
If you get the baby, then that means you're going to have good luck for the year.
Man, I got to say.
But it's a terrible cake.
What are the overrated things in New Orleans?
Everything. The food.
That,
excuse me?
No, I didn't remember you complaining about the food when we went that year. It was fantastic. It was great seafood.
Okay, I do love seafood, but I don't like Gulf Coast seafood. Okay? I like I'd eat cold water seafood, okay? I don't eat lobster if it's not from Maine. If it's from Rhode Island, I don't want that.
You don't want
okay?
it?
Okay, I only eat Alaskan salmon.
So you're not going to have any oysters then?
Oh, I'll eat oysters. I'm going to have oysters, okay? I will not scoff at the oysters.
Will you eat clams?
Yeah, Shannon.
I mean, yes.
Oh, my God.
You're and a gentleman,
the other thing is that Roger Emmerich coffee, that tree
chicory.
Bark.
That chicory, oh, that yeah. Everything. It's overrated. It's too like,
are
I don't
are
know.
Y'all talking about Cafe Du Monde down there?
That's the overrated, guys. Too. Those beignets.
What are you talking about? They're coffee and beignets. You need to do it when you're hammered. You can't go there and
people
be like,
people go
oh,
there
this
in the
great.
Morning.
You go there, yeah, when you're hungover.
Wow.
It's a hangover cure, and I got hammered, and I got to go do something to end the night of. That's what you do.
And those drinks on the street.
The hurricanes. The hurricanes,
diabetes traps.
That's a diabetes. Diabetes in a can.
Yeah,
that's the quick growth guy. That's Wilford Brimley in a can.
Now I'm not agreeing with you on the food. I separate myself from that, but everything else, I think we'll have fun.
I'll say this about Louisiana. At least it's not Mississippi.
Jacksonville. I love their accents as well.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Troy Landry at the Super Bowl party. That was my. Celebrity freak out moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
Not a clue.
Okay. That was a good job faking right there. Oh, where are you guys again?
We are at Shakerton's in Arlington, 1409 North Collins Street. So we're like right off of 30. It's off, or 35?
Uh-huh.
30.
Be careful
Collins,
when
right?
you get on to 30.
Yeah, we're right off of Collins. And if you're coming from the Garland area, it sounds like it's all shut down still.
Stay off of 30 for a while, man.
But yeah, we're going to be out here all day today, courtesy of our friends at Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. So come on out and enjoy some Sagamore today. It's going to be an awesome day for us. This is an awesome spot, dude. I think that's why, like, the fleur-de-lis pattern on the wallpaper here behind us, I get that. But this is an awesome little spot. I love it.
So they have giant Jenga, which brings back some nervous memories for me. I don't know if I've told you guys the story. I was at Barcadia with a few friends. We were playing giant Jenga, but we had an odd number of people. And this lady walked up chain smoking a cigarette while she was drinking her drink. And she's like, I'll play Jenga with you. And so I was like, oh, okay. And somehow I got put on her team. And she just like, she took one of those puffs that like felt cartoonish where all the ash was hanging off the cigarette, but none of it actually fell. And she goes, are you any good at this? Because I don't like to lose. And then she was like drinking her drink while she smoked. This is the most high pressure Jenga game I've ever been in. Luckily we won, or I really thought she would have put a cigarette out on me.
Did you tell her she was losing the cancer battle?
No. Oh,
with the smoke stick right there.
No, I didn't.
All right.
It felt like a high stress enough situation.
Well, for next time. So were you searching? Like, was it obvious you were searching for a partner that you needed a fourth?
No, it just felt like there was three of us and she just walked up. It's like she had some weird, like, can I get into your business vibe?
Oh.
Hey, honey, do you need a fourth? And I was like, oh, my God.
I didn't know whether your traffic was the one that affected Peyton. Peyton was,
yes.
was late. Two-hour traffic delay for Peyton had to reverse on 635 this morning.
So on 30, that's where it started, and that probably backed all the way up into Rockwall off the bridge and everything. For about four exits, so from 59 to 55, all of 30 seems to be shut down. And so, yeah, I had to exit and divert, and then, of course, everybody else in the world's trying to do that. You just get stuck on, you know, the regular streets. And, yeah, it's a grind out there.
Did you guys figure out what was the cause, what ended up happening?
I don't know. I was too busy, like,
anything.
What'd you say?
I never saw anything about what was the cause of the wreck, but it was at least three or four cars.
Yeah. One time I was over in that area, we had gone over to Platinum Chevy to hang out and see our friends over
GM
there.
GM Justin Rowe.
Yeah, and on the way back, there was like a gas leak somewhere in the Mesquite area. Oh. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't great. So I hope it wasn't anything. We got to keep an eye on it and see what's going on.
Man, one thing I don't do is I don't use GPS.
Just, what? Your toxic masculinity.
Well, yeah, I welcome traffic, right? Give me time in my, give me peace of mind.
But what if it's going to make you late for your job, like Peyton?
I mean, be late for your job, man. I'm sorry, you know, like it's life.
What?
Sounds pretty stupid and stubborn to me.
It is stubborn, Sean.
I use the GPS every morning.
Really?
Got to. Now that we come in and start the show at 6,
a little bit later,
dude.
I can never stay on 75.
I just got my kid a car. He turned 16. We got him a car.
Flex.
And
what'd you get him?
Fancy.
Yeah. Well, listen. All right. And it was it's like a 2015 RAV4. Right. And he gets into it. And he's doing all his stuff. And he's like, "Hey, Dad, where's Apple CarPlay? How am I supposed to know where to go?" And I was like, "Use a freaking Maps Go, kid. Like, go find one.
Get a Garmin, out, man.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. These kids these days, they don't know, man.
Sean,
we had to
Sean,
memorize street names.
Sean still doesn't have Bluetooth in his car. We just found that out recently.
If I gave my 14-year-old a map and said, figure out where we live, I don't even think he could point.
Oh, I would do terrible too.
If I gave you a map of DFW, do you think you could find Sunnyvale? Like, yeah. if I just said point to it quick, you have 1 second. You don't get to look for it.
Yeah,
you have 1 second to find. You know exactly where it is.
Yeah, a map. They should do that on TV. Like, get a payphone, right?
Or yeah, the rotary phone.
A rotary phone, a map, and what is a third thing? Like a cassette player.
Or a boom box that you have to carry with you while you're out
there. And you just say, operator, whoever can figure out these things, you're like going through a...
Find the fifth song on this record.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I don't think I could do that either.
Isn't Vinyl coming back?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe it is.
Corey, what's coming up on the program?
Oh, man, it's going to be an awesome day today. We start things off scouting the Saints, Kevin. We got to get into that immediately, and I've been doing a lot of that, so we're going to dive into that right out of the gate. And then at 10:40, Jared's going to join us to talk a little bit about Kamar Rocker's start tonight. Really excited about that one. This is one of those nights where I can't decide which one I'm going to have on the laptop, which one on the TV, because I have to watch Rocker pitch.
Well, Boach said he thinks Rocker can reasonably go 5 innings, so lock in on that.
He did say he would. What are the odds on the no-hitter? I asked him about the no-hitter.
Very
low.
Like,
what are your
very
odds?
Very low on the no-hitter.
They're going to have a couple combined no-hitters this series, DeGrom and then this today.
Okay. Who's like combining it on the back half of that no-hitter?
I think he's saying
hopes and prayers. That's who's combining on the back half.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
So the game, football game.
7:20-ish.
And then 8:40 for first pitch.
Yeah, so halftime.
You think we can get Rocker at halftime?
I think we get Rocker at halftime.
Yeah.
It depends on how quickly the Rangers go 1-2-3 in the first. That's what I'm hoping for. Let's go 1-2-3 in the first, we get the Rocker.
Yes.
Oh, man.
You make a fair point, Joe.
Have you guys been missing Bassick?
Yeah.
Whoa, that was a telling
No, that was a Manning cast delay. Don't worry.
Because I heard
there was more pauses than that than Shannon Sharp video.
Yeah. Oh.
Did he admit that he wasn't hacked last night or this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
When are you guys breaking that down?
Well, so we did talk about that yesterday.
As it was happening,
because he said he was hacked, and I guess my question for y'all is, like, I'm sure people get hacked. I know they get hacked. But do you ever believe that as an excuse anymore? Because that's the go-to excuse.
Really. No one believes that they were hacked, but, you know, then other audio and video came out where it was clearly his voice. Mm. Shannon probably has. Who else has another voice that is unmistakable? Tyson.
Be like Tyson does, Morgan Freeman,
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
No yes. longer with us.
But like Shannon Sharp, you can't lie. You can't say that that's not you. You know what
Gilbert
I mean?
Right. Godfrey.
Gilbert Godfrey. Godfrey. Yes, a Gilbert Godfrey sex tape.
Bobcat Dang Goldthwait.
Oh, Bobcat. No, I don't want that.
Oh, my gosh. It feels so good.
Keep doing that.
Who's that guy who talks with the Western voice?
He was Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. You get a little Sam Elliott action.
That could be Bruce Bochy, though.
Yeah.
Bruce Bochy.
Bruce Bochy and Sam Elliott.
Tell Broach to reenact a sex tape.
Good old Broach.
I
old
will Bruce. Not do that. Hey, speaking of things That's we're supposed to ask people.
Right uh-huh.
Are you going to ask McCarthy tomorrow why he can't get to his press conference on time? Because you were supposed to ask that last week. I asked my question that you wanted last week.
We played your audio from Friday where you guys were mocking Sean after that. Yeah,
yeah. My speech problem, making fun of people with issues in life.
Hey. For the record, I disavowed that straight away.
Yeah.
After laughing.
Well, you know,
I did not.
I feel like this is the week to do it because they are coming off a win. Easy opponent. We're at the firehouse. He'll probably be nicer to us in front of the firefighters. So how should we phrase it, Kevin? You did a great job of asking Jerry the tough question last week. How would you ask it?
So he talks a lot about the importance of schedule and being precise and everything like that.
Yes.
Is that a tough message to push across when he can't be on time?
No,
for his own
that's
press
not how you would ask that. I can do it.
You right. like the first part of it, though, right? Hey,
the way I would do it is, Coach, you're always here with us at 6:30. Bam, like clockwork. Our midday show was wondering why maybe that same prompt timing doesn't happen for the press conference.
You can great
say
way to do
you
it.
Can say complaining. They're complaining
that's
about
fine.
Him all the time.
I'm fine with that as well.
We told them to shut up, suck it up, you know? Yeah. We'll back end it with that.
I defended you here,
Stop
Coach. I said, look,
he's busy.
He's a busy man, a lot to do.
I like that.
If he's 90 seconds late, he's 90 seconds late.
Yeah. You know, I'm fine with that as well, RJ. Just for the record, you be funny. Sure to relay that. I'm also fine if he's 90 seconds late. It's when he's like, hey, maybe I'll be 12 minutes late. And, you know.
Okay.
That.
Choppy's going to do it.
I'll do it. I'll even start by saying, Coach, I have the best relationship with you here, so I figure I have some equity built up.
That's good.
I can throw this your way.
Yeah, and he'll say, no, me and Bobby, we're the besties.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we are going to be on the road tomorrow. The Firehouse Tour continues. Firehouse number one in Burleson. Where are you guys again? Kevin, I think you should give the address after the way Corey did the first time.
We're at Shakerton's, 1409 North Collins in Arlington.
The KNC Masterpiece, live from New Orleans, right here on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.